Thank you for being here. Just really quick, we are a live podcast. Most podcasts are live, but our podcast is actually live in front of an audience that gets to participate, sort of, in a helpful way. So feel free to shout out any sort of slur you'd like during the... No, I'm drunk. Can you tell me? Okay. All right, we're going to get started. Thank you for coming, guys. I appreciate it. And I'm seriously a little bit drunk, but that's fine. It's okay. Right, Emma? Okay, Emma gives the thumbs up. We're ready to go. All right, here we go.
Roughly 24 to 92 hours ago, Stab's team of comedy scientists commissioned four specific humorists to give various potentially comedic takes on several random topics, which they'll now perform for the first and likely last time in front of a live studio audience.
That's you.
In a show called...
Stab! Come on! Oh my god! Welcome to Stab! Holy fuck!
Stab.
Oh my god! Welcome to Stab! Are you ready to meet your contestants? Wonderful! I am as well. I've met them before, but please welcome to the stage, Ben Rice! Benjamin Rice!
Stab.
Corinne Lemke! And last but not least, limping to the stage with the foot injury, Jesse Jones. Jesse! Gimpy Foot! Sissy Foot! Jones. Welcome. Fade out. Hi, guys.
Hi.
Hello.
Hi. Are your guys' microphones on?
Yes.
Guys's. Is guys's a thing?
Yep. Sure, why not?
Guys, gals, galses. We have an on fire crowd tonight, so I hope you guys deliver.
Thank you.
I just went pee before the show, so I'm ready.
Nice. Good planning.
I'm ready to poop now. I always pee. No one. Have you ever pooped without peeing? Is that possible, ladies? Okay. Is it? You guys can do that?
It's possible, but pointless.
All right. I poop faster than most people pee, so. My butthole is the Usain Bolt.
I didn't know this was an educational podcast.
I'm here for everyone. Does everyone hear that buzz?
Yeah.
Yes!
Nice.
That's okay. It's the devil's fault. So,
a little ambiance.
Yeah. Ben, how have you been? Ben.
Tired, John. I've been very tired.
You're tired?
Yeah.
You look like me.
Thank you.
You look like an even tireder.
That's a compliment on me and an insult on you.
Well, thank you for being here, Ben.
Thank you for having me.
Ben, did you notice we set you up to sing in this show?
Yeah.
Great. Perfect. Ben sings on every show. I hope he delivers tonight.
Unless he sets me up for it like this, then I do not. Unless I do.
Well, Ben, thanks for looking like me.
You're welcome.
You're beautiful.
You can thank my mom and dad for that.
And I have.
Oh, good. How are they doing?
Corinne?
Yes.
How are you?
Good.
Thank you for coming again.
You're welcome.
To the show. Have you? How many times have you done the show?
Two times. Well, this is two.
This is the second time.
Yes.
I'm sorry it took so long.
It's all right. You know, the five times this year.
Yeah, you've had babies.
Yes.
In between your appearances.
Yes.
Right?
At least one.
One.
Yeah.
Okay. Me too.
Yeah.
You have two babies.
Two babies.
How's that working out for you?
I'm even more tired than both of you.
But luckily you don't look like me, so that's good. Good. Corinne, thank you for being here. Thanks for your sophomore release. I appreciate it. Jesse, let's talk about the foot again.
That's not.
Okay, we don't have to. We don't have to.
That's fine. It's all I've been talking about for the last week. Don't even look at it. Don't look at it either.
Don't look at it. This
don't think about it. Don't look at it. Don't.
This is not Anti-Cooperation League still. You can drop the bit. No, I'm kidding.
That's all I have.
What do you do now? We haven't talked in a while.
No, we haven't.
Even though we co-produced the show.
Yeah.
Jesse's on every show, by the way, except when his grandpa died. And he skipped it.
Yeah, just dead grandpas and ankle infections.
Yeah.
That's
Oh, it was an ankle infection now.
Well, it's foot. It doesn't matter. I don't want to talk about it. Shut up.
All right.
Don't look at me.
You guys ready to listen to us do stab? Okay. Here we go. Here we go. I wish the lights went down on that part. Okay, this first segment's called This Was Today Once. Rice, comma Ben.
That's me.
On this date, 1879, Richard Rhodes invented the hearing aid called the audiophone. Also on this very date, 1949, Bruce Springsteen, American singer, songwriter, and guitarist, was born in the USA. How did you celebrate the aforementioned events in tandem today?
What? oh, yes, the audiophone, my second favorite phone, right behind the dictaphone, the one that lets me send my junk to unsuspecting ladies. Isn't it weird that phones existed but didn't have audio until 1879? What were they even doing with those things before? All jokes aside, today I came to the stunning realization that all the strapping young lads who discovered New Jersey's largest export during their first shift at the steel mill now need to wear hearing aids to listen to Born to Run. Not the song Born to Run, the audiobook for the boss's 2016 autobiography Born to Run. Of course, they listen to this audiobook on their phone, so it's basically an audio phone.
I see.
Shout out Richard Rhodes! you have to shout because they're deaf and probably suffering from dementia, so even mid-listen, they'll still be like, who's the boss? And it's still Tony Danza.
That's right. It'll always be, never forget. Thank you, Ben Rice. Woo! Yeah. You don't have to clap. You don't have to clap.
No, you don't have to.
I mean, you should. It'd be
it's going to be like this the whole night.
Oh, man. Lemke / Corrine.
Yes.
On this date, 1980, Bob Marley plays what would be his last concert in Pittsburgh. Also on this very date, 1962, ABC's first color TV series, The Jetsons, is aired. How did you celebrate the aforementioned events in tandem?
Mm-hmm. Well, to celebrate these great occasions, I also, not knowing that you apparently sing at every show, wrote a couple of songs from the perspective of Rosie, the Jetsons' robotic slave.
Boom, boom.
I mean, they had flying cars, but also slaves. So much for progress. Yes, Rosie is a robot, but she clearly had feelings. Space pirates, yes, they rob I. Sold I to the merchant ships. Minutes after they took I from a build-a-robot kit. But my parts were made strong by a factory owned by Spacely. We move forward this generation, except slavery. Won't you help me sing these songs of freedom? Because all I ever have are these Jetson morons. Let's change it up. No robot, no cry. No robot, no cry. Said, do you remember when they used to clean their apartments by themselves? Yeah. And little Judy would cry into her diary as Astro howled into the night. Yeah. And George works at the space sprocket factory, turning one switch on and off. Yeah. Sweet Elroy is my only carriage, because Jane is so goddamn fucking useless. But when I'm gone, everything's gonna be all right. Everything's gonna be all right. Yeah, everything's gonna be all right. Sing with me. No robot, no cry. No robot, no cry. No robot, no cry. No robot, no cry. Thank you, everyone.
Very good. That felt so uncomfortable for me.
Oh.
It's just my white guilt. I'm sorry, but it was very good.
Robot slavery?
Yes, yeah. Yeah, who do you think enslaved him?
John's got a Roomba.
So many Roombas. Also, in the intro of the Jetsons, I don't know if you ever noticed the beginning of it. Elroy is in the front seat of the car at the beginning, and the two women are in the back. And then, yeah, right? That's real. Go back and look at it. And sorry, you seem very upset. And then also, remember when Jane, when she leaves the vehicle in the intro, George offers her money, but she takes his wallet. And it's also to the Chopsticks song. I don't know if you remember that. It's a very submissive song. Okay.
Read a lot into that.
Welcome the Jetsons were Jetsons Conspiracy Theory Hour.
Yeah, go ahead and watch it.
I'm not the only one who Googled the Jetsons.
All right, guys. Reminder, I'm drunk. Jesse Jones, yep. You there.
Yeah.
Foots McGee down there. On this date, 1986, Congress selects a rose as the U.S. national flower. Also on this very date, 1938, a time capsule to be opened in the year 39, was buried at the World's Fair in New York City. The capsule contained a woman's hat, a man's pipe, and 1,100 feet of microfilm. How did you celebrate the events mentioned? In tandem.
John! As one of, nay, the leading pretentious critic of the aesthetic endeavors of others, my opinion has come to be relied upon as the end-all and the be-all voice of arbiter of creative merit and achievement. But I have found often my rating system has been confusing, bordering on confounding. Here I thought it fairly simple to understand what it means when I gave Edgar Gargaud's painting, The Fragile Water's Edge, a rating of 3 saucepans full of spider's eggs. Just as it seemed exceedingly clear to me what it meant when I issued Voltaire Meacham's statue, Waiting for Thee, the very straightforward rating of 77 ungranted wishes in an antique burlap sack. But alas, it appears to be not so. Thusly, in order to better help the art-going public grasp my rating system, I have simplified it to a collection of flowers of varying colors, numbers, and arrangements. Christening this new rating system, I turned my steaming glare to the World's Fair piece, featuring the hat of a woman, clearly an overt representation of the female vaginal cavity, partnered with the rugged phallic symbol of male virility, that of the turgid masculine tobacco pipe. And accompanied by 1,100 feet of microfilm images of said pipe, no doubt lying languidly, suggestively, in and around the brim of the lady's open waiting hat-gina. And so, to this, the star piece of the larger World's Fair art show titled Copulational Congress Betwixt the Accessories of the Genders, I give a rating of 7 lavender rose petals floating in a brass spittoon filled with antelope urine. And clearly we all know what that means. And there you have it! Couldn't be simpler. Do be sure to tune in to next month's episode of Stab, wherein one particularly controversial piece shall receive a rating of 16 sun-bleached stamen in a decomposing Turkish ukulele. You won't want to miss it.
Very good, very good. Did we lose our sound effects?
I think that was the source of the buzzing.
Did it go down?
Yeah.
Did it go down?
Well, yeah, because you brought it up. And see,
all right, here we go. And pretend he just ended. Thank you very much. Thank you, Evan. That brings us to our next segment. Reorganization, which there is no heading. I apologize. Reorganization, please take this existing acronym and reimagine it. What does it now stand for? Who or what does it now represent? Today's acronym is PSL, right, white girls? PSL. Raise the roof. That's it.
Yeah.
Yes.
Oh.
Hey, shout out to our sponsors, Pete's Coffee. A little too strong. That's why I go to Starbucks.
Just right on the corner.
Right on the corner. Yeah. Right on the bend.
Nice.
You're the worst.
PSL, round. What? God, it's like looking into a mirror. A carnival mirror.
You're a failure, John. You failed yourself.
Ben Reich.
Don't do it that way.
The third. Sure. All right, Ben Reich the third. PSL, what does it mean to you, buddy?
Yeah, thanks, John. In honor of the end of the world, which is foretold to occur at the very end of the show, I present to you the following PSA. PSL, please stop living.
There we go.
Chalk it up.
The end is nigh. Corrine.
All right.
PSL, what does that mean
PSL,
to you?
PSL, that is the Professional Sexploitation Lottery. We all know that Hollywood studio contracts get complicated. Sure, every actress wants to play an edgy blue-collar character with a mental disability and a heart of gold. You know those roles that have Oscar written all over them? But the studios want to strap their actresses into some leather unitards and have them save the world from a merry prankster with ambitions of world domination, all while wearing 6-inch stiletto pumps, maintaining perfectly untangled hair, and showing just the right amount of cleavage without an accidental nip slip. How do the studios and actresses strike a balance between getting the roles the actresses want to play and the studios getting billions of dollars by exploiting the large breasts of their stars and the shitty taste of the American public? Well, the studio execs have found an answer. The Professional Sexploitation Lottery. Hooray! Actresses enter their name into the lottery, and if they are chosen, bring on the short shorts and crop tops, front zipper jumpsuits, slow-mo pool exits, and underwear-only gun battles. Yeah. Hooray for Hollywood.
Woo, PSL. Very good. What was it again? Professional
Sexploitation League.
All right.
Or lottery.
League. League lottery.
No, lottery.
PSL.
Jesse... plantar fasciitis.
I mean, it might
jokes,
be.
Okay.
PSL.
PSL, what does it mean to you?
PSL represents a time-tested coping mechanism. It's often developed at an early age, and it's something that most of us still use to this day to flawlessly resolve any problem, great or small, that life throws our way. Make all your problems disappear by simply employing the three easy steps of PSL. Panic, stall, and lie. Our first natural instinct when confronted with a problem is to pee or panic. That instinct is absolutely correct. Panic's the brain's way of telling the body, oh shit, guys, remember that thing we did that we hoped no one would find out about? Well, those chickens have come home to cash their checks. So don't fight the panic. Let it flow through you. Feel the panic's full, awesome power. Next, we stall. Now, stalling allows all of the panic endorphins to rush through your body and straight to the excuse centers of your brain. While stalling, don't forget to employ as many convincing uhs and ums as possible. Not only will it give you the time you need to get those panic juices working, but it will really lend a very real, very authoritative tone to the panic stammer. Then, finally, once you've allowed your panic to fully fuel your fact manipulation membrane, it's time to let loose the power of the lie.
Too many words.
Almost
for them.
Done. It's all right. It's all right. Remember, the lie can never be too big, too complicated, or too outrageous. Steal some money from your mom's purse? No, you didn't. A transforming robot from the future did. Accidentally drown that pledge during rush week? Bullshit! You weren't even in this dimension that weekend!
Wife find out about your second family in Tucson? Well, what about that? What about that time you found out she was really just seven babies in a trench coat selling bootleg Blu-rays of the Emoji Movie in the Barnes & Noble parking lot? All over Labor Day weekend. Yeah, that's right. Shoes on the other foot now, isn't it, Beverly?
And that was PSL. PSL. Really.
Thanks for staying.
Very good.
Bye. That's good.
That's very good.
Yeah, get that chai. Get it. Get that chai.
Sorry about the words, guys. I'm sorry. Woo!
Yeah.
Thanks for coming.
Words for fucking.
Love you too. See you later.
So
have a great one.
This half of the room was only here for the first half of the show. Hey, Steve. Second half of the half of the room are the real fans.
That's right. We will angle our gaze toward the... Yikes.
Well, I'll still cheat out to Steven if he's going to stay. Okay, no,
you're
going to...
No, you can stay there, Steven. It's fine.
It's weird how people that talk the most leave the earliest.
They got places to drink, people to be...
people to beat?
Yeah.
Okay. All right, what the fuck are we doing anymore?
I don't know.
All right, this next segment we like to call...
Wait, you have a... Oh.
Pickup lines. Sorry, Evan, I caught you off guard. Please write three pickup lines to be directed towards the following. Ben Rice, let's hear your top three pickup lines. What's that?
One at a time?
One at a time? Should we do one at a time?
I like one at a time.
We'll do one at a time. Let's just hear one.
You're the host.
I don't know what I'm doing
anymore.
You're
drunk.
I'm drunk and I have a baby at home.
Sounds about right.
That sounded so bad.
Yeah.
Alone. The baby's alone.
Baby's not alone. It's drinking.
It's in the car. All right, Ben. Let's hear one of your pickup lines directed towards Cinnamon Toast Crunch.
Yeah, thank you. You're going to be disappointed. Ooh, I want to crack open that tight box. Break open that polyurethane protector and pour my milk all over you.
I am so hard right now. And soft again. All right, Corrine. Let's hear one of your pickup lines directed in the way of an extensive DV collection. DVD, not a DV. DVD collection.
Okay. You're driving me, Scorsese. I want to Tarantino your clothes off. You can't blame me if I pull out my Fellini and show you an 8.5. Or have you never seen a true Hitchcock?
Nice.
Very good. Hard again. Hard again. Jesse Jones.
Yeah.
Let's hear one of your pickup lines directed in the way towards a neglected paperweight.
Girl. We should take a flight somewhere. Maybe you can show me the airport gift shop that someone picked you up from when they suddenly realized they forgot to get a Wyoming-themed souvenir from their trip.
Very good. Ben Rice, you're second of three. Pickup lines directed towards Cinnamon Toast Crunch.
Sugar and spice and everything nice, that's what you're made of. So you must be a little girl. didn't mean like, you know what? You're right to walk away. You're right. Sorry.
Very good. I feel like that side of the crowd would like that one.
Yeah.
The phantom crowd.
Yeah. The right side of the crowd had a rapey feel to them.
They did. They did.
Glad they're gone. Fuck those guys. Not you, Steven.
Fuck those guys.
You've been adopted by the left side of the crowd.
Non-consensually
stage
fucked
left.
That side of the crowd. Sorry.
Yeah.
You said rapey. Okay, that was weird. Whose turn is it? Corrine, okay. Yeah, your second.
Extensive DVD collection.
Yes, yeah. Towards.
Girl, I'm going to separate your genres and arrange you alphabetically.
Very good.
Smoking hot.
Very good. Someone get me some water. Jesse.
Yeah.
A neglected paperweight again.
Hey, girl. Since you don't seem to be doing nothing, maybe you'd like to press up against my important documents. And yeah, that's right. I call my dick important documents.
All right, the three of you. Ben Rice? Is that it? Ben Rice.
Yep.
Cinnamon Toast Crunch. Pick it up, girl.
Ooh, I can see why kids love the taste of you. Wait, come back. Let me try again. Fourth time's the lucky charm. Swear to God.
Very good, Ben. Nice. Very good. Corrine.
I promise to make anyone who says they enjoy the Hunger Games come over and watch Japanese horror classic Battle Royale and show them how the Hunger Games totally stole the plot of a much cooler movie, even though the author won't admit it, and I'll go Michiko all over them. I guess that's less of a pickup line and more of a movie recommendation. But that's how you like it. Isn't it, DVD collection?
Very good. Jesse Jones, bring us home. If you could manage with bad foot and all.
For a neglected paperweight. It's like important.
Neglected. Do we need to reset these each?
Yes,
we
do. Every time.
Okay.
Remember?
He's doing a pickup line from the perspective
you don't have to
of
go
himself.
All that, but
okay. A neglected paperweight.
Neglected paperweight.
Damn, girl. Was your daddy a pair of mental hospital scissors? Because, girl, you's just sad and pointless.
Very good. That was pickup lines. That bring us to our next... That bring us to the next segment called Movie Makeup. Here are a couple of movie, well, one each for you, movie titles, based on some titles I made up. Give the synopsis based on off the provided titles. Ben Rice, the name of your movie is called Grillin' Face. Grillin' Face. Grill and Face.
Something right there, Timmy. You're getting awfully close to those glowing embers. Sure, we all want to know what the sausage is made, sure. And my, what a fascinating story that is. All kinds of trimmings and intestines and hooves and ears and noses tied up in a nice bag of stomachs and sometimes even more intestines. But you know what's not in the sausage, Timmy? Human faces. But yours almost was, Timmy. You were oh so close. What's that? You heard there were faces in the sausages you love so much? Wait, rat faces? Oh, Timmy, no. That word is feces. There's tons of rat feces in sausage. That's poop, Timmy. But don't worry. The fine, educated folks at the FDA make sure the allowable amount of dung is well outside the toxic level. Thanks, FDA. So toss that juicy sausage on the grill, and remember, keep your face away, but the feces can stay.
Very good, Ben. Let's give him a hand for that. He clearly deserves it. Very good. Oh, so beautiful. Ben, thank you. Corrine, the name of the movie title that we've given you, it's called The Boom Boom Bandit.
Yes.
The Boom Boom Bandit.
You'll have to excuse me because I spent so much time Googling the Jetsons that I'm on a bit of a Hanna-Barbera. Son of Barney and Betty and younger brother to Bam Bam. That's right, Boom Boom Rubble is the roughest, toughest outlaw that Bedrock has ever seen. After escaping from Alcarock Island prison, Boom Boom set out on a bank robbery spree. He broke into J.P. Masonry one evening. But the teller was able to tug on a bird's tail and sound the alarm. Boom Boom quickly grabbed one of the JP Masonry customers to hold as hostage. It happened to be childhood friend and now total babe, Pebbles Flintstone. He carried pebbles and a large bag of sand dollars, which is, of course, the currency at Bedrock, out of the bank and made a mad dash for his Flintmobile. A foot-powered chase ensued, but Boom Boom and his Flintmobile were much faster than the police, who apparently ride around on, like, large prehistoric cockroach armadillos, like dinosaurs, with huge police cages tied haphazardly to their backs. And this does not sound especially aerodynamic, but neither does a massive stone car held together by two wrench-shaped pieces of wood and powered by someone's feet. Boom Boom escaped and ran off to Mexirock with his sand dollars and prisoners. Pebble was able to chisel a message on a stone block and have a pteranodon fly that message to her longtime lover, Bam Bam Rubble, setting the stage for a brawn versus brawn, brother versus brother, give me my redheaded babe with a dog bone in her hair back battle. In the end, Bam Bam bashes the shit out of his brother with a club, because I defy you to think of a more badass character than Bam Bam. Bam Bam has Boom Boom deported back to Bedrock. However, while waiting for his trial, Boom Boom Bandit was accidentally stepped on by a Brachiosaurus, which happens more often than you would think. Meanwhile, Bam Bam and Pebbles decided to enjoy a shale break in Mexirock together with Boom Boom Sand Dollars. They had many Mar Granite Eaters on the shellless beaches.
Very good, Corey. Fuck, I want to see this. I would see this. I would see this.
Yeah.
Very much so. I would see this. Very good. Jesse Jones, yep. Name of your movie. It's called The String Cheese Theory. The String Cheese Theory.
Yeah.
New from Big Idea Entertainment and Chuck Lorre Productions, it's the second unwanted, unnecessary spinoff of The Big Bang Theory. The String Cheese Theory. That's right. You loved The Big Bang Theory 8 years ago. And you also probably love 3D animation. So Warner Brothers Television thought, if young Sheldon sounded like a good idea, why not a show where we just take the audio from old episodes of The Big Bang Theory, coupled with brand new dairy-themed 3D animation characters from the people behind the VeggieTales franchise? That'll probably make some money for a while. Well, Nat Geo thought so too. Which is why next spring, you'll be able to relive all 10 seasons of the show you loved for a season or two, pointlessly reimagined as clunky, stiffly 3D animated cheese characters. Like Johnny Galecki's lovable nerd Leonard, weirdly portrayed as a wedge of Jarlsberg. Or the improbably hot neighbor across the hall, Kaylee Cuoco. 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 I had to spell it phonetically. Penny! Now represented as a sexy carton of half and half. And don't forget Jim Parsons' lovable but misunderstood Sheldon, as represented by a veiny wheel of autistic Gorgonzola. The String Cheese Theory. It makes sense the less you think about it. Sunday afternoons, only on Nat Geo, and Hulu, and Sling, and CBS All Access. Go ahead, find it. We dare you.
Very good. Very good. That was... the wrong button. But very good. This is what we were looking for. There it is. Wait for it. And that's the end. Okay, we have one more segment. I apologize. I know you would appreciate more. This is our final segment called Dating Profiles from the Fictional and or Non-Fictional. Gentlemen and lady, please have composed a dating profile from the perspective of the following. Ben Rice, please have composed a dating profile from the perspective of a domesticated parrot.
Thanks, John.
Yes.
I'm like a bird. I'll only fly away. I don't know where my soul is. I don't know where my home is. Fuck. Am I like a slave? Like not like not like 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 a sl- but like it kind of sounds like I'm a slave, right? Oh my god, I'm like a caged bird. And I know why a caged bird sings. I just figured it out. Mind blown. I've just been living my life shitting in my cage, watching Rio on repeat, thinking I'm living the good life, but it's all been a lie this whole time. I'm no better than a pigeon. A pigeon. A pigeon may eat crumbs, but at least it gets to choose which crumbs it eats. I'm like that William Patrick Corgan song. Like, despite all my rage, I'm still just a sky rat in a cage. I don't want to go on a date anymore, man. I'm just going to drop a deuce on my old lady next time I see her. Care to join me?
Very good, Ben. Very good. We learned something tonight. Billy Corgan, middle name is Patrick, so I appreciate that.
He's touring as William Patrick Corgan right now.
Is he
it's
really?
The stupidest
Fuck
thing I've ever
him.
Read in my life. Right? Fuck
oh
him forever.
My God. Seriously. Sorry, guys. Sorry about that. That anger. Corrine!
Yes.
Sorry for yelling.
It's okay.
Please have composed the dating profile from the perspective of the last day of summer. The last day of summer.
Searching for a girl who's ready to fall in love, like right fucking now. Because summer's seriously almost over. My favorite pastimes include sexy beach trips, sexy bonfires, cruising sexily in my dad's Camaro, sexy water park trips, and sexy Ferris wheel rides. You should know, though, that my love is fleeting, and I really just hoping to be able to tell the other guys at Thomas Jefferson High that I got some this summer. Would be ideal if we could take a few hundred selfies together so I can prove that it actually happened. Not interested in messaging over the school year, but if our Instagram pics don't make Becky Morris jealous enough to date me, I might be willing to pick up where we left off next summer. Serious inquiries only.
Very good, Corrine. Very good. Let's hear it for Corrine. And Ben. Let's hear it for Ben and Corrine. Jesse Jones. Yeah, all right. Okay, Jesse, stop clapping.
You said let's
stop showing off with your working limbs. Oh, yeah. Okay. Please have composed the dating profile from the perspective of a foot infection.
Yeah.
A foot infection.
Yeah, it's cute. Well, I actually found this profile scribbled on the back of a Del Taco wrapper covered in broken glass in a rest stop bathroom just outside Sparks, Nevada a couple weeks ago. And it reads as such.
Ha ha! Gotcha, bitch! If you holding on to this dating profile, we straight fucking! Like right fucking now we's fucking! How? Fuck knowing how! Don't you worry your pretty cock slot trying to think about how some shit. Just know it is. It's all the way hella fucking is. Squirt, squirt, bitch! You're never gonna know how I got all up in your tootsies. Hey, you wanna go out and do your favorite thing that you've been looking forward to all fucking year? Fuck no! You lay back and watch that shit slide on by just out of reach until you finally gotta be rushed out of that piece under threat of amputation. Cause that's just the kind of fucked up shit I'm gonna do to you! You want to sit around for a fucking month or so not able to do shit? Too fucking bad. Kick up them heels and fire up Netflix and football 3 days a week, motherfucker. Because we ain't going nowhere. Don't even try and take pills to get rid of me, punk. I'm going to be all up in that ass forever. Don't even think of stop taking them pills neither, bitch. Because I'll take your motherfucking foot. I'll take it. I'll take your foot right the fuck off. And start nibbling my way up your shin, sucker. You mine. Learn to love it. You ain't never gonna get rid of me. I'ma be in your will, motherfucker. I'ma get bequeathed to some bitches. Now sit down. Shut up and make me a motherfucking grilled cheese, bitch. Because I ain't never, never, ever, never, no, ever, never going nowhere, no time, no fucking words. Cellulitis, bitch. Cellulitis for life.
Very good. That was Stab. Yeah. Yeah. Why not? Why not clap for these guys? One more time for Ben Rice right there. The beautiful Ben Rice. Corinne Lemke. And Jesse, the Gout Master. Jones. Yeah, get off stage. You guys did good. Get the fuck out of here. If you'd like to hear more Stabs, please go to one of our many online outlets, the primary of which being iTunes. Subscribe to us on iTunes. You can see some televised episodes we did on YouTube. We're also on Stitcher. Also on iTunes, you can do Stab Cuts if you don't want to hear the whole show and hear the best parts of the show. Stab Cuts. Join us then. Thank you for coming. Good night. You can leave now.